Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Davis. Good ball. Vinicius. Nice take. And he slipped it in for Lucas Moura to score. That's nice and smooth from Spurs. And Lucas Moura had the simplest task of all of them. Bale, own goal, Andrade, 2-0 Spurs. Well, he didn't score it, but he made it happen. And Tottenham are, piece by piece, making this happen. Vinicius, that's delicious for Son, 3-0. You just knew, because with him, there is rarely a failure. Vinicius again, the deft supplier, and Son once more, the executioner for Spurs. Spurs without fuss. Jose Mourinho ticks the boxes on day one of the Europa League group stage. Spurs winners over LASK by 3-0.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're keeping safe and well out there. We are back for instant reaction to Tottenham Hotspur's 3-0 win over LASK in the Europa League group stage opening game. And like I say, delighted to be back talking about a Tottenham win. I'm delighted to be joined by Lee McQueen, Jamie from the Daily Hotspur and Chris Cowling to get their thoughts, their opinions, their review on Tottenham Hotspur's opening group stage win of the Europa League.
31 goals in 10 games played this season. That is, obviously, if you're not very good at maths out there, that's 3.1 goals per game as a ratio. And I'm very happy. It was a job done performance tonight and a big delight to come back on with you, amazing crew.
Oh, fantastic. There you go. It was a great win, to be fair. Like I say, you know, it's, again, maybe taking the opposition to one side. It's all about getting the wins, building the momentum, hopefully looking forward to the trophies. And that means only one man if it's trophies. Chris Cowling's back on The Last Word on Spurs. Chris, how are you?
Very good. And the Brazilian boys done the job tonight. A good solid win. It's a start, isn't it? It's a start and the road to the trophy.
It is indeed. Hopefully more
than
one.
Are they coming, Chris? That's the thing. Are they coming?
There's no question, Chris. The trophies are coming.
There was no plural, though, when you first said, you said the trophy. I was thinking there's got to be more than one, surely.
This trophy, the Europa League trophy, okay, is coming.
I love it.
Definitely.
Fantastic. I love it. And joining the crew, absolutely delighted to have back alongside me and obviously the boys. We've got Jamie from the Daily Hotspur. Jay, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Ricky. And it was a good win tonight. I think it showed kind of the depth we have now in our squad. The substitutes that we were making, there were lots of good options, even coming off the bench. So that was something that's really pleasing and something that's going to be really important if we're to do well in this competition. So I was pleased with that.
It certainly was job done and a positive night for Tottenham Hotspur, particularly our new Brazilian striker, Carlos Vinicius' debut. Davis offering us plenty of food for thought. And as the left side centre-half, you know, we did see a real decent performance there from Ben Davis and even Gareth Bale showing some real flashes of brilliance. Doesn't look fully up to speed yet, but sterner tests await. But on first viewing, what did you make of that opening group stage game?
It was a solid performance. It's a midweek game after that, like you just said about the West Ham. You know, everyone was on the floor when they after that. Felt like a loss. But obviously, as I pointed out at the end of the last pod, it wasn't a loss. We actually only drew the game. it means that we've only lost one game this season in all competitions, which is great. And this was another one notched up. Clean sheet, very, very positive. After Davinson Sanchez got quite a lot of stick on not only on our pod, but obviously on social media as well, rightly or wrongly. So he played and kept a clean sheet. And then I was very impressed. I saw in the WhatsApp group, didn't I? I was very impressed with Davis at the back today. Didn't have to do a lot. And, you know, let's not get carried away against the opposition. But even so, we just looked a lot more balanced in the side with a left-footed centre-back there. And obviously with Reggie, as our friend of the show, Alistair Gold, has put a thread on social media about today. He says Reggie, as in Peggy, but Reggie. I think he'd done pretty well as well tonight. So, you know, down that left-hand side as well. So I think that we looked a little bit more solid. I thought Højbjerg was outstanding. I'm sure we'll get into it. And a really, really good win. I thought Big Vinny had an excellent debut. And, you know, there's some good cameos as well. I mean, Jack Clark went close, didn't he, towards the end of the match. So some really, really good cameos. I'm very, very pleased myself personally to see Dele Alli. I thought we looked at it today. I thought he looked sharp. I thought he was quick in the tackle. Some really good stuff from him as well. So maybe the Jose effect, like he's done with Ndombele, maybe that's working on Dele as well. So like I said at the top of the show, 31 goals now in all competitions in the 10 games we've played. That is a phenomenal return, considering we're meant to be boring and we won't score goals under Jose and he parks a bus. So, you know, a very good attacking display, professional display. And it was a good night.
Pretty much the perfect night for Spurs, wasn't it? A great debut from Tottenham Hotspur's new Brazilian striker, Carlos Vinicius. Bale getting some minutes into those much-needed legs. A first clean sheet since the win against Leicester City in July. Clark making his debut. Is that job done in the most best possible way for Spurs?
Absolutely. It's funny, I predicted a 3-0 and I don't normally get the predictions right, but it was a very solid win. Every player playing for competition, there's great competition, and that's what I love about this squad at the moment. The competition is fantastic. Jose Mourinho looks along, the substitute bench. There are so many options. And I tell you what, how exciting is it that you bring a world-class player off like Gareth Bale and then put a world-class player on like Heung-min Son? When have we had so many options in attack, so many options across the pitch, you know, all 11 players, but everyone is playing, you know, even Joe Hart, good performance from him tonight. Sergio Reguilon, very excited about seeing more of him. Doherty getting really involved. Lucas Moura always seems to get a European goal. He loves European goals. Carlos Vinicius, what a huge plus. You know, the Brazilian boys have done it tonight. But Carlos Vinicius, you know, he could have probably had a better debut if he'd have buried that goal after 8-9 minutes. You know, he should have got that on target at least. But two assists, you know, very aware of where the players are around him. You know, that ball for Lucas Moura for the first goal, absolutely fantastic. And then the header, you know, putting Heung-min Son in. But so many positives, as you said. Jack Clark making his debut. You know, a lot of us thought that he'd be heading out the door. You know, he seems to have been starting his career now at Tottenham. Giovanni Lo Celso back for some game time. Dele Alli back. I tell you, the options are just fantastic at the moment. And it is super exciting. And I know I keep going on about trophies, but, you know, when you see the likes of Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, you know, with the bandage round his head, you know, when Tottenham are in the final and we're about to lift the trophy, you know that they're going to be playing all these moments. And, you know, I'm super excited going ahead. We won 3-0. It was job done. It wasn't the most fantastic performance you're going to see. But ultimately, we are scoring goals. Like Lee said, we are scoring goals in every game. We're looking very threatening. You know, Gareth Bale is, you know, not match fit, but we know when he's back to his best, we're going to have a fantastic player on our hands.
Do you know what I absolutely love about this show? That after that West Ham game, right, we were absolutely on the floor. And I love the fact that 4 days later, we're all back again. We're all fresh. We're all vibrant. We've got Chris sitting there telling us just, you know, the trophies are going to be coming. The goals can't keep happening. It's just wonderful, isn't it, Chris, to be in this kind of positive spirit at the moment?
Do you know what, though, Rick? I don't think I was on the floor. It was disappointing on Sunday to draw the game after we went
3-0. Me too. I have to say the same thing. Even at the end of the pod.
Yeah, I mean emotionally. I just mean emotionally on the floor. I don't mean maybe, you know, from an aspect of the team. I think we can all see, even with the West Ham game, we could see something is coming together. But I think we were just drained by the fact that we knew that was a great opportunity to go and get the 3 points.
you know, like Lee said earlier, we're unbeaten now since the Everton game on the opening weekend of the Premier League season. It just doesn't look like we're going to get beaten at the moment. And, you know, the way Jose Mourinho is setting us up and the way that we're looking to score so many goals with Heung-min Son and Harry Kane on the pitch, you know, without them two on the pitch in the first half, you know, we were 2-0 up and we always look threatening. But I think that we are going to have these blips throughout the season. But I'm highly confident that Tottenham are going to lift a trophy this season. I'm sure we are, because with the squad that we've got and the depth that we've got at the moment, and with Jose Mourinho in charge, you know, it has to happen. But, you know, 3-0 up on Sunday, you know, we should have buried the game. But, you know, they come back into it. It was disappointing. But I do expect us to have a few blips. It's not going to be, you know, perfect all round. It's going to be small steps. And, you know, Jose Mourinho is doing a great job at the moment.
Jay, coming round to you, you know, you take into consideration Tottenham's first clean sheet since the 3-0 win against Leicester, which we mentioned, which was on the 19th of July, 2020. Joe Hart's first clean sheet since Burnley, the 1-0 win against Brighton on the 8th of December, 2018. Harry Kane's first game as an unused sub since Spurs' 6-1 rout against Rochdale on the 28th of February, 2018. As we mentioned, 31 goals in 10 games now for Tottenham. Our attack is on fire. The defence is looking more solidified. And dare I say, we're even able to rest Harry Kane. What did you make of Spurs' win there over Lask in the Europa League?
One thing that I was so happy with tonight is you look at our summer recruitment. It has been fantastic. I mean, Jose Mourinho, back in March, he spoke about wanting a more balanced squad. And we really do have that now. I mean, we've got a keeper who can come in, as you said, and did a really good job tonight. Filled in, you know, Gazzaniga at times came in and was shaky. Vorm the same. But now we've got a keeper who feels quite solid. And there just seems to be so many different holes that have been filled in this squad. You saw Højbjerg tonight. He just seemed like the perfect Jose Mourinho midfielder. He worked so hard to win the ball back. He worked very hard in the midfield. You know, he gave everything for the cause. And then, of course, you see Vinicius tonight. That was something that Spurs have always missed, kind of something, an alternative to Harry Kane, a guy who can fill in for Harry Kane and give him the night off. And that's something that's so important, because we've seen with Harry Kane, when he's played so many games, he's picked up injuries. So the fact that that Vinicius was able to play the whole 90 minutes, or sorry, not the whole 90 minutes, but the majority of the game without Harry Kane needing to come on, that was a big thing for Spurs. And yeah, I'm just so pleased with how we've gone and addressed so many issues in the squad. We've made a much better balanced squad. And yeah, as we've discussed, the options are fantastic now. And that's going to be so crucial as we go deep into this competition. We're going to have lots of games. Hopefully we go deep into the Carabao Cup still, the FA Cup as well. So, I'm really excited for this season, and I'm very happy with how the squad's at now.
Now, as you guys know, we always ask you to send in your listener questions after the game. We've had loads of questions in, but more some statements that I have to try and read out. Like I said, we've had so many people come into the Last Word on Spurs, over 50 questions, so please keep sending them in, and we'll try and read as many as we can out on every single show. James at JamesDFive says, "We are winning it, lads. Riding that crazy train, coys." Matt Martin says, "Have we ever had this amount of strength and depth? Have you ever seen a team play with so many smiles on their faces like these guys? Bale slowly getting there, and Vinicius are saying about him." Spurs by Sweden says, "One part of Vinicius' game that wasn't talked about before this was his excellent passing game. 8 assists at Benfica last year, and that pass completion tonight, 100%. And you've got to say, you know, he looks so, so impressive. Stuart says HFC agrees. StuStar1984 says, "Impressed with Vinicius. Looks physically good enough to cope with the demands of the Premier League. He could also be a very good player to Tottenham and useful to have in this side." Sid Humphrey says, "Would I be right in saying we don't look half like a team, don't we? Players and options in every position. Kane and Son in peak form. Bale look decent. And Vinicius looks like we've finally got that good centre forward." Brock Soccerball says, "Carlos Vinicius is the striker we've been begging for. Also seems like a lot of the boys are getting on well with him. If he keeps this up, he'll be the perfect win man for Harry Kane. I'm a big fan of him already, coys." Youssef Tai says, "Vinicius just went out and proved what us fans have been crying out for in a second striker. Plays the Mourinho way, and Kane was able to have a rest." Gulam Afsal says, "I don't want to get carried away here, but the depth in this squad is phenomenal. Vinicius put in a great performance and he looks like a really good player. I know Kane is our number one striker, but can you see Vinicius playing most of the Europa League and Cup games so Kane can rest? What I would say on that, Gullum, is I think Mourinho's already come out and said here tonight that there is the option of them both playing. So what I would say is watch this space. CHFC fan says, are strikers on wingers on a regular basis? Is this a new thing now? Naz at BCK Duck says, Vinicius is a proper striker, not a backup, but a legit second striker we needed. Honestly, Deddy played well as well, and I want to see more games for Jack Clark in these type of Europa League group stage games. So hopefully that'll be the case. Now, coming around to you, Chris, you won't need any kind of introduction to this, but always Spurs Twitter. It's one of those things that when the team news breaks, there's always the divisive opinion. Should it have been this team? Should it have been that team? But whatever team Jose Mourinho is filling at the moment, there is real strength in depth and real genuine quality. But the one area you'd probably say we haven't really got that cover is central defence. But we saw Ben Davies come inside to play there, as he has done previously a couple of times under Mauricio Pochettino's tenure, and he played ever so well. We also saw all of Spurs' six summer signings in the main transfer window start the game, and Carlos Vinicius given the chance to prove himself to finally become Spurs' answer to their second striker problem. And my God, did he impress. It is worth putting out there that he did find the back of the net 24 times last season. He played in both the Champions League and the Europa League with Benfica, so he's no stranger to this competition. Then there's Gareth Bale, starting a Tottenham match for the first time since 2013. You add into that the likes of Eric Lamella, Lucas Moura, Dele Alli, always a player whose subject to future at the moment is always up in the air. Dele was on the bench. But Chris, what did you make of Tottenham's team ahead of that game against Lask? Was that what you was roughly expecting?
I thought that he would play Harry Kane and Hugo Lloris. I really did. When I looked at a lot of the predicted lineups from a lot of the journalists, they thought exactly the same, because Jose Mourinho likes to win these games with very strong teams. But it's great, and this is what really excites me at the moment, because we do have so much strength in depth at the moment. And when you look at past teams that have won trophies and won Premier League titles, they have had a lot of strength in depth. The only weakness I think that Tottenham have got at the moment is in defence. But if we can score, you know, lots of goals, Ozzy Ardiles style from the 90s, then we're going to win a lot of football matches. But it's funny, because how many pundits and how many, you know, people who follow football have said about Jose Mourinho playing boring style football. And you look at the Southampton away game, you look at the Man United game, you look at the first half, you know, the first 15 minutes against West Ham. It is super, super stuff to watch. And I tell you what, if all of us fans were in the stadiums, I think it might even be that, you know, that notch up a little bit better. And I think that it could even be more stylish. We could be scoring more goals. It could be more, you know, highly entertaining stuff. And it's great to watch. But the recruitment that Spurs did in the summer, and of course, all of us Tottenham fans aren't really used to a lot of signing seven quality players, you know, lots of leaders. You know, people like Joe Hart, you know, it was criticised when Joe Hart signed for Spurs. You know, a lot of Tottenham fans thought, what on earth is Jose Mourinho doing? You know, but he's coming in, playing these types of games. You know, we've said on this show many times, you know, real leader, he's been there, he's done it, he's won trophies. You know, real leader on the pitch, talking all the time to defenders and the midfield and so on. And Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, players like that, you know, there's real strength in depth in this squad. And that is what is so exciting. But if Tottenham don't win a trophy, and I know I'm going to go on about trophies again, if we don't win a trophy this season with this squad, I can't see what else more, you know, what we can do. When you've got a world-class manager in, you know, we say it all the time, world-class training facilities, stadium, you know, likes of Harry Kane, Heung-min Son. When you've got those options on the bench, you've got Harry Kane on the bench, you've got Heung-min Son on the bench, you've got players like Lo Celso, etc. It's hugely exciting. And I'm just so pleased that Harry Kane had a night off. And, you know, how refreshing is it that we've got a striker in Carlos Vinicius comes in, makes his debut, two assists, and Harry Kane has a night off. It's absolutely fantastic. And we keep a clean sheet, the first clean sheet of the season. So, yeah, very, very pleasing.
It is indeed, isn't it? You know, you've got to say, you know, from where we were, like, as I keep referring back to the West Ham game, we could see positives, but to come away, like I say, with that clean sheet, it does feel, again, like another massive momentum builder for Tottenham to really go and push on now ahead of a real packed schedule for us. And Lee, coming around to you, Spurs scoring the opener was the perfect start. Lovely ball over the top from Ben Davies. Nicely taken in his stride by Carlos Vinicius on his debut, who played a perfect ball inside to Lucas to fire home. And Spurs had that early lead that we were craving.
Beautiful play. Again, Ben Davies, mentioned him at the top of the show, and you and Chris just chatting about him now. I really like the balance of him being in that shape. And actually, if you think about it, if you don't have a left-sided centre-back in that position there, that goal doesn't happen. Because, you know, typically they don't play that ball with their left foot. And then ultimately, you always know where you're going to go. If you're playing a right-sided centre-back on the left-hand side, your options are limited. And I think he gave the real balance. And it was a beautiful ball. And look, Ben gets a lot of stick or goes unnoticed a lot of the time. So I'm going to give him the praise where it's deserved. I thought he played really well. It was a great ball. And Vinicius, wow, what a touch. What a bring down. He's doing a Berbatov, isn't he? Bringing that ball down. Absolutely fantastic. Had a look as well. Didn't even, and then he put a wonderful ball in for his assist, and Lucas just stuck it in the back of the net. It was a fantastic goal, and it was very pleasing because we'd gone figures about scoring. You know, we've recently been scoring really early, didn't we, in games? So I started thinking, hang on a minute, is this going to be a bit of one of them? But you know, we had 60%, virtually 58-59% possession of the ball today. 13-14 attempts, six on target. So again, you know, even after the West Ham game, we're creating chances, and you've always got an opportunity to win football matches when you're creating chances. And that for me is a really pleasing thing. Obviously, we are conceding goals, but you know, let's put that into perspective. We scored 31, but we've conceded 13. So you know, and yes, some of them goals have hurt us. Newcastle, the West Ham, you know, we could have spread them out. But I think Jose said this. He loved the 6-1 win at Old Trafford, but he wished he could have spread them a few of them more goals out, to be fair. So I think that's quite interesting. But so yeah, it's a wonderful goal. Really, really, really enjoyed going 1-0 up.
Real superb work from Vinicius to run in behind that last defence. A perfectly weighted ball across for Moura to tap in. And I've got to say, you know, I've been critical of Ben Davies on this show, and Chris has always kind of given me a reprimand on Ben Davies, and he's nodding his head at me here. But, you know, it was a lovely knock as well from Davies over the top to set Vinicius away. But the more you see it, Jay, that Carlos Vinicius touch that Lee referred to, I mean, it was absolutely sublime. And I've got a great feeling this guy is going to be that perfect alternative to Kane that we've been crying out for, God, since, well, you know how long. The amount of strikers we've gone through to find him.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of that guy that fills that kind of the position that Jose Mourinho wanted, the type of player that Jose Mourinho, the type of striker he wanted, really. You know, the way he was able to hunt the ball down, the way he was able to bring it down and bring other players into play, that was really pleasing. And that was something that obviously, as I said, Jose Mourinho has really wanted a striker like that. And I thought that, yeah, he was fantastic tonight. I think it's worth pointing out, you know, it wasn't the best of opposition. So I'm sure he'll get some opportunities to kind of, show himself against stronger opposition. But look, tonight I was really, really pleased with Vinicius' performance.
He seemed to be running offside quite a lot. And there was some opportunities where actually if he just held his line a little bit longer, just held himself a little bit before going on his run, he could have been pushed in a few more times. And then in the second half, he was getting, I think he held his run a little bit better. And then he wasn't getting fed the ball. And it was a little bit, I think that's just probably getting people getting used to his runs and him getting used to where the ball's going to come. So that's why, again, it's exciting because you can see, like Jamie just said, you can see that there's a player there for sure. And it's, it's really pleasing to see. All you want, a footballer, a professional sports person, you know, or fan actually, is the player that's coming into football club to do well on their debut, don't you? That's all, you know, get a good one under your belt on your debut. And to be fair to the lad, he's done that. So fantastic. Two assists, should have scored as well. And great debut.
It was actually the perfect game to play him in, wasn't it? The, Carlos Vinicius to be playing against Lask in the Europa League. It was perfect. But when you think back to strikers like Roberto Soldado, Vincent Janssen, I can't even remember either of them two having two assists in a game. And Carlos Vinicius has come in. He was very aware of where Lucas Moura was for the first goal. Very, very aware where Heung-Min Son was for the third goal. So it was a great debut from him.
Tonight he came in and I think we've seen it before with when Soldado and Janssen were there. They just didn't look very confident players. And, Vinicius has come in and made an impact straight away. And certainly tonight, I think he'll be definitely lifted having got two assists on his debut. So Hopefully some good signs for the future with him.
But, you know, to get that confidence, to get them to assist, now he knows he feels like he belongs in the team. Do you know what I mean? Don't feel like he's on the edge. He feels like he belongs in that team. And it's the same with Reggie. You know, Reggie comes in, he played brilliantly on his debut, you know, wonderful ball in against West Ham as well. He's put a couple of good ones in as well, made some really good runs. And he's really confident, you can see from his initiation, you know, stand up and, you know, if the listeners have watched that video and all that sort of stuff, standing up at his initiation, belting out a song on the chair. And it's just that confidence level, people coming in, going, and then you've got Hoiberg, which I'm sure we'll go into a little bit more. But again, that confidence, I saw him tonight and he pulled up Gareth Bale on something. I don't know if anyone noticed that, but there was a ball there and he kind of shook his head and sort of said, you know, bring it this way, you make it go that way. And you just think that's massive confidence as well, you know, to you know, no one's overawed by four Champions League winners and, you know, two La Ligas with Bale. He ain't come in to, you know, to be the big boy. He's come in and you know, like Rashmir said on the BT Sport interview afterwards, you know, he's got competition for places as well. And it feels like everyone, the thing that you said, Rick, earlier, is it feels like something's building, it feels like something's happening. It's the team spirit for me. It's the bit that everybody's coming together. And when you see them fullbacks tonight, that reminded me of the Danny Rose and the Carl Walker of old when Poch had it. They were so far up that pitch, you know, becoming wingers and Højbjerg dropping in as a back three. It was good. It was exciting.
I think something Spurs have done a lot, actually. They've put a lot of images up of training and the harmony, as you said, Lee, has just looked fantastic. And I think that Vinicius has looked like a guy who's come into the squad and he looks like he's got guys around him that helping him to settle quickly. And I think that will not be another thing in hopefully him hitting the ground quickly, unlike past strikers at Spurs.
I think, you know, that Brazilian link-up we've seen already there with Moura, there already seems to be a very, very close connection there with him too. And I think that's only going to help us because we've always said that Mourinho is a massive fan of Lucas Moura. And I personally thought maybe he might become the player that might be phased out by Jose Mourinho. We've got Bale in there now, you've got Bergwijn, Lamela. You know, you just wonder if Moura's going to be that missing player. But you've got to say, it looks like Jose Mourinho is still a big, big fan of him. Obviously, he got that goal. Chris, what does the future hold for Lucas Moura? Is he still integral to this Tottenham team?
Absolutely. It goes to show games like this, Lucas Moura is perfect to fit in. You know, hopefully Tottenham throughout this season are going to have so many games, League Cup, Europa League, you know, Premier League, you know, everyone is going to get their chance. And it's so important that a lot of these players take their chances in these types of matches, because Carlos Vinicius now will be banging on the door. Lucas Moura will be banging on the door. They will both want to be playing in the Burnley game. All of the players will want to be playing in that Burnley game. And of course, the Antwerp game next Thursday. You know, you saw Harry Kane sitting on the bench. You know, it's almost looking, thinking, you know, I want to be playing. I don't care who it's against, what day it's on, even if it's on 2 days, 3 days later after a match, I want to be playing. Every player plays professional football because they want to play in the starting 11. So, but with Lucas Moura, I've always been a big fan of Lucas Moura. His stats probably aren't as great as some of the other attacking players. You know, he doesn't have that great assist record or great goal scoring record, but in European competition, if you want someone to rely on, you know, Lucas Moura's your man. And I think that he's now link up play with Vinicius was absolutely fantastic tonight. And hopefully, you know, that'll be a good attacking partnership for them too.
What we did see after the game is some absolutely lovely comments from Jose Mourinho on Vinicius and how he contributed to the team along with Lucas Moura. He firstly said that he feels Ben Davies and Reguilon are a little bit like Vinicius and Harry. Yes, they can play together. There are not that many centre-backs with a left foot to have him with an option is good. And it's like back to the point you made there, Lee, that, you know, the full-backs we've got now, the excitement of having two players that can actually go down the flanks, it's something that we've been missing for such a long time. The Danny Rose factor with Kyle Walker is something that we've been trying so hard to get back into this Tottenham team. And he says on Vinicius that he can be much more than this kind of player. He's still in a learning process, but in the circumstances, he's really, really happy. The only thing that he was missing was a goal, as you mentioned, Chris. He can also play with Harry Kane. So it's actually great to know that Mourinho actually has that option where he does genuinely believe he can have him in a 4-4-2 as an alternative to Kane. And Lucas then went on to say about Carlos that they're very, very close. He stayed at his house the first 5 days. And he does feel, in Lucas's opinion, he's the kind of player that they've been missing in the squad. He is a real number nine. And I think it's so great to hear that from a teammate. And the confidence that must give Vinicius now, coming into such a busy, busy period for the club, where we've got so many games, as we know, guys, coming absolutely thick and fast, that there is no rest time. And talking about players that have absolutely got no rest time is Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. Now, this guy, he has been put through the ringer recently, and he is still out there chomping at the bit. Incredible first half display from him, in which we saw Spurs actually at one point, coming around to you, Lee, having to play with 10 men for a while as Højbjerg got bandaged up after suffering a cut above his eye, of course mirroring the Spurs legend Graham Roberts. And he's back on the field, that classic Terry Butcher, Paul Ince head bandage look. What did you make of that? An absolute warrior, wasn't he?
Yeah, destroyer, the midfield destroyer, I called him on social media. And it was really interesting because I thought he had a really good game. I think he was sluggish against Everton. I think all of us would know that, and he'd probably say that himself. Bit of pre-season still. After that, I think he's been absolutely magnificent. I think the second half in against Southampton, against his old club, he was magnificent, and he's been brilliant ever since. I'm trying to give man of the match. You know, you're looking at Kane and you're looking at Son and all the games that we've played, and every time I keep going back to him, I'm thinking, Højbjerg, I think he could get the man of the match. Man, I think I said it off air today, didn't I? I think, again, today, he could have got the man of the match. So, I think he's been superb. You know, when we had Kyle Walker bombing up the right and Danny Rose down the left, and you know, we had either Wanyama or Dyer at the time would actually sit back and come back and make a three. So we play a 4-2-3-1, but ultimately we'd make a three in game. That's what Højbjerg is doing to us now, and allowing them fullbacks to bomb, and it's him that allows that to happen. And I have to be honest with you. But, you know, obviously I'm going to pat myself on the back. I know you can't see it, but I'm doing it now because I called for Højbjerg to be signed in January. So I called it early. You transfer gurus, right? I called you right out on that, in the nose, yeah? But what I would say is I didn't ever think that he would come back and make that centre-back. You know, do you know what I mean? But he's very, very comfortable just doing I don't want to call it the dirty job, but the heavy lifting. Let's call it that. He's very happy to do the heavy lifting for the team. Break up play, little individual fouls, or nick the ball back, and then get the player off and running again. And I think he's been absolutely brilliant, and so far out of the new magnificent seven, he's probably been our best sign so far, I would say.
Avi agrees with you, Lee. Avi says, well, he actually questions, is Højbjerg our most important player? He sets the tone, mops up the mess, and gets our team started on the breaks. And I have to agree on that. And Joe was fascinating. You know, we saw second half that he didn't appear with the bandage. He was bandage free in that second half. But I mean, what we did see, Joe, at one point, he actually performed two back-to-back pirouettes in the Tottenham half. And, you know, this player, I mean, he was dizzy himself, but he left the players dizzy of the opposition. It was just an incredible moment. And my God, this guy, Jay, you know, if we can keep him fit, and I know he's got a great fitness record, but the amount of games he's playing at the moment, we just hope we can continue to keep wheeling him out there because he's absolutely incredible, isn't he?
Yeah, look, for me, firstly, on him starting, I thought that was a bit of a surprise to me. You know, the number of games that he's played, but clearly, as we've seen, he's a guy that Jose Mourinho really loves and really trusts. And we see that in his play, I think. You know, to see the mentality that he's kind of brought to the team. We know he was captain at Southampton. He's obviously played for a couple up by Munich. So that mentality is there. And then, of course, you know, he does that role that we desperately needed. We needed a guy who could come in there and who was able to break up play and able to do the job that he does. And he's doing it so perfectly at the moment. And I really think he has been a really big signing for us, and he's been so crucial for us this year. And he just seems a perfect fit under Mourinho. And a guy who's also adding to kind of that harmony in the squad. So, yeah, again, another player that I've been really, really pleased with. And tonight he put in another very solid performance, and I'm sure he'll do the same again on the weekend because at the moment he's been a very consistent performer, and yeah, very happy with him.
Chris, coming around to you, you know, whether it was just mopping up the mess on the edge of the box, pressing at the other end, performing double pirouettes to leave Lask players dizzy, or acting like a minder when Vinicius was brought down late on, the Dane, I mean, Chris, he's got this real commanding presence about him. And, you know, he mentioned as a joke, he did it all with a Terry Butcher, Paul Ince-style bandaged head after suffering a cut above his eye. But you do feel if Spurs do anything this season, if they actually go on to achieve these trophies that we talk about, he's going to be at the very heart of our success, isn't he?
He's a real leader. He really is. And I can see him wearing the captain's armband at Tottenham Hotspur Football Club very, very soon. I tell you what, he's always looking for the ball. Whenever a player is in trouble, he's always running, he's always getting in position, he's always wanting the ball, always looking to get the ball and always looking to move the ball forward, which is great as a Tottenham midfielder. But did you see that incident when Vinicius was tackled? And his look at the player, his look at the referee was absolutely fantastic for me. It really was. And, you know, very, very protective of his own players, which is great to see. But that one is a real, real fantastic signing. You know, we saw him, captain Southampton in the Premier League. We know he's got a fantastic Premier League experience, but what a signing that has been. And I think that he will do very, very well at Spurs.
Yeah, and we actually saw Jose Mourinho again come out after the game. And he says that he's a captain without the armband. And he jokes that they were calling him Zidane at halftime with a Pirates in the middle of the park. And just a quote here from Jose Mourinho, he says, "We were laughing at halftime. We're all sitting there calling him Zidane. Very nice, but don't do it again," he was telling Pierre. Very good leader, very good player. And as he mentioned again, reinforced that point that you don't always need an armband to be a captain. And I think, you know, in his trait as he is there, Chris, you mentioned that he's so protective of his own players, loves it when our players make the tackle. And I've got to say, you know, we go a lot on about leaders and about having players that are talking, commanding, communicating. You can see already, players absolutely love him. The fans are going to take to him. When we get back into that stadium, he's going to be a real, real fans' favourite if he isn't already. We're going to go for a very quick break. When we return, we've got more love for Vinicius. We're talking about Gareth Bale's second debut. And we've got Burnley to come as well at the weekend. So do not go anywhere. We're back after this very, very short break.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organisations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organisations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
Hello and welcome back to the second half of The Last Word on Spurs. Hope you're keeping safe and well out there. Thank you ever so much for downloading us as we provide you the instant reaction to Tottenham Hotspur's win in the Europa League against LASK. Now, one of the players that I do want to give a mention to is Harry Winks. Now, of course, Harry, a player that is one of Spurs' very, very own, a player that's come through our youth academy. I think it's fair to say at the moment that he's finding himself to have a bit of a difficult time. And I just want to ask you, coming round to you, Lee, with regards to Winks, is it a case at the moment where we don't quite know what his best position is and he doesn't also know his best position? Because at the moment, what we are seeing from Winks is a couple of rash challenges, a few sloppy moments, but on the whole in that game, he did mop up much of what came his way. But I just wonder at the moment, because there's an element of him not knowing his best position and also not being regularly played in this team, do we know what the best Harry Winks is right now? And does he have, in your opinion, a long-term future at Tottenham?
I think if you did a survey on social media, I think there would be more in favour of Harry Winks than not. I think the hate that he gets is unjustified. I think that, you know, like every player can have a bad game. And I think that, you know, it's look, could he have put his boot through? Could he have put his boot through and the ball and put it into Rhodes' head against West Ham? Yeah, probably. And probably he should have. And, you know, he should. He's probably thinking, you know, himself more than anyone else that he made a mistake and whatever. But I don't, to be honest, I don't read too much into the whole, you know, hatred to Harry Winks. I think he's one of our own. I think that, you know, is he the best midfielder on the planet? No. Does he give his all for the shirt? Yes. And that should count for something. You know, is he going to be first choice, you know, throughout the season? Probably not. But is he going to have, will he play more than 20 games for Tottenham this year? Yeah, he will. And does he deserve to? Probably. So, you know, I think it's, football's about opinions. I like Harry Winks. I respect what he's done. He's one of our own. And I think that, you know, he's probably at the moment trying too hard. That's the feeling that I get with him. But again, you know, if he wasn't trying, everyone would be on his back saying that utter shit. I mean, how many people did got on Moussa Sissoko's back and then he become player of the year, you know, for example? And how many people getting on Ndombele's back and now all of a sudden they can't say a bad word about the fella? So, you know, it's very, very fickle sometimes. And, you know, for me, Harry Winks, I stick up for him because I like him as a player. And I think that he also does a job in the team that isn't a sexy job. Like, he's there to break play up and just, you know, and move the ball, and they get called a backwards and sideways type passer and all that sort of stuff. And he's not in the team to defend and keep clean sheets. He's not in the team to assist, and he's not in the team to score goals. So out of them three things, all of you lot that play fantasy league football and get points for, what is he going to get a point for? You know, your reality is he doesn't do the sexy side of the game. And I think that hopefully with Højbjerg in the side now, when he does get runs in the side, it performs a better player. I think you've got to remember that he's also, he's young. I mean, he's 24, but Højbjerg's only 25, to be fair. And then Dembele's 23 and whatever. So he's had really good games, and I think he can have really good games again. But, you know, the hate, it's just social media. It's keyboard warriors. Don't worry about it.
Jay, let's come around to you about Harry Winks, because I think the problem with Harry at the moment is that I don't think he knows anymore what his best position is. And I don't think Jose Mourinho knows anymore what his best position is. And therefore, when I look at this squad at the moment, he's another one like Dele that when everybody is fit, Winks doesn't get into the first 11. And therefore, maybe he needs to be asking himself the question is that, has he got the inner belief and the strength and character to think, I can get into that first 11.
The reality of the situation is, if you want your team to do well and if you want your players to do well, you've got to support them. It's why we're called football supporters, right? We're fans of football and we support them. And what coming on Twitter and just battering them for a mistake. Okay, so they've made a mistake. Is everyone else perfect? The people that are writing that stuff about them, are you all perfect, are you? You're not. You know, everyone's made mistakes, and you've got to take it. You've got to take a step back here and actually say, "Look, do you know what this guy is doing? Maybe it's jealousy, Rick, Jamie. Maybe it's jealousy because this guy is doing what a lot of you know. I say young people. I'm not young anymore, but older people, younger people. You know, women, men, whatever, want to play professional football. So you know, and he's doing it for our club. So maybe they're a bit jealous about it. But come on." If I keep telling you three and all of our listeners, you're shit, guess what's going to happen? Come on, tell me what's going to happen.
You're going
to be shit. Exactly. So sort it out. If you're football supporters, support your team and support your players. We lose, we win as a team, we lose as a team. That's not being about critical. Criticism and saying somebody's had a bad game or, you know, and justifiably, that's one thing, but calling them names and I hate this guy and he's not having it. It's out of order. You don't need to do it.
I mean, Jay, what do you think on this? Does he have a future at Tottenham? Does the player feel he's got a future at Tottenham? I suppose that's the key we're trying to get to with Winks.
I think he's in a difficult position in the squad because when you're not consistently playing and you're not having a consistent role in the team, that can be very difficult to have that consistency in your game, and it can be difficult to sort of come into the team and do a different role. And I think that lack of game time, that lack of consistency in playing each week, that's definitely not been able to help him. I think you're right in saying it is difficult to know kind of what his best position is. You know, is he a guy that kind of sits just in front of the back four? Is he a guy that kind of looks to play the ball forwards? So there is maybe a need for kind of finding what his best position is. But I think he has suffered from not being consistently played. I think that's something that's really important. When you have a consistent run of games in the team, then that's when your form can be helped. Or, you know, in Winks' case, I think that it's definitely hampered him because, you know, he's coming in and playing and very, very sporadically playing. And that's not helped him in terms of coming into the team and making a straight impact. So, I think a lack of game time and a lack of consistent starting or whatever has certainly hampered him at the moment.
Chris, coming around to you, just want to kind of brush off Harry Winks now because, like I say, it was going to be just a fleeting topic, but obviously with Winksy, it's one of those where, again, it always divides opinion with Spurs fans. Some Spurs fans love him. Some feel maybe it's the right time for him to move on. I mean, Chris, does he have a future here? I mean, this is the thing I'm trying to get to here because I look at the squad now and personally for me, I don't see where he fits into Jose Mourinho's model. I don't see him being a Jose Mourinho kind of player. And the question will be probably back to me, well, what is a Jose Mourinho kind of player? I just don't know if Harry Winks is that now. You look at Højbjerg, you've got Sissoko, you know, you've got Ndombele in that team now, a lot of central midfield options. Does Winks get into your first 11 now or anywhere near it, Chris?
Yeah, but you say that, Rick. He started the game today. So obviously he's in Jose Mourinho's plans. And
is he in the shop window for January?
I don't think so. You know, he's
started more games than them other midfielders over the last 12 months.
He is Tottenham through and through. And I tell you what, I used to watch Harry Winks in the under-18s and under-23s. And, you know, a fantastic player then, you know, sitting in front of the back four. And you are not getting a creative player. He is not like a Christian Eriksen. He's not going to score goals. He's not like a... you know, Heung-min Son, you know, he's not that type of player. He is a defensive midfielder. And what role does he have at the club? Now, Maurizio Pochettino, you know, gave him the position, told him exactly what he expected him to do on the pitch. You know, what is his role? When you've brought in someone like Pierre-Emile Højbjerg now, you know, playing alongside him, I'm sure that he will take a lot from his game. And I'm sure that we will see probably a different Harry Winks, you know, what Jose Mourinho wants to have out of Harry Winks on the pitch. But I'll tell you what, people slag off Harry Winks left, right and centre. But I'll tell you what, there is nobody wearing that Tottenham shirt with more passion than Harry Winks. When we score a goal or something happens very, very good at Tottenham, you look at his face, you look at the passion. He absolutely loves the club like we do as fans. And he wants to win and he gives 110%. Every single time he's on the pitch. So, yes, I do think that he will be at Tottenham and I do think that he's in Jose Mourinho's plans, yeah.
OK, well, there you go. Emphatically across the panel, Harry Winks going nowhere. Chris, just to stick with you, one player that is absolutely loved and, you know, he adores Tottenham is Gareth Bale. And to be fair, the own goal for 2-0, Bale had the assist with an outside of the boot cross, which Andre turned into his own net. And Gareth Bale, as we kind of will eulogise now during this next couple of segments here, you know, everything he does, it just oozes class, doesn't it? When he's on the ball, there's just a certain character about Bale where everything is on his rhythm. Everything is played to his tune. And, you know, we actually saw Reguilon starting that move to beat three players with a surge from the left back to get Spurs that second goal. What did you make of it, Chris? It was a lovely move, wasn't it?
I tell you what, I'm so impressed with Sergio Reguilon. I know before we talk about Gareth Bale, but Reguilon, super excited about him. You know, like Lee said earlier on in the show, you know, when you look back, Danny Rose and Kyle Walker, you know, the excitement of them two going forward, well, the excitement of Reguilon, you know, he's only played a handful of games and hugely excited about seeing more of him. But Gareth Bale, yeah, of course, he crossed the ball. I thought he was going to cut in and have a shot, actually, but... yeah, he made the second goal. Obviously, it went in as an own goal. Overall, I felt that Gareth Bale looked very rusty tonight. Although you saw, you know, glimpses of quality. We all know what he's about. We all know what he's done. We all know the trophy he's won. When he is 100% match fit, and I know that we've said on this show hundreds of times, but Heung-min Son, Harry Kane, Gareth Bale, all on the same pitch. There is no better forward line anywhere around at the moment. So I'm super excited about seeing him match fit. But, you know, it's taken time for a lot of these players. You know, I know Gareth Bale's only just come in, but, you know, even Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, it's taken time for them to get 100% match fit. You know, these games are really helping us. I know a lot of people thought that the Europa League games on a Thursday night would hinder us, but I feel that it's going to help our squad. I feel like it's going to give a lot of the players game time that, you know, you wouldn't have had if you don't have European football. So I think it's an excellent problem to have.
Listen, I think Reguilon, just to stick with him for a second, coming round to you, Lee, he is like a roadrunner, isn't he, down that left-hand flank? You mentioned it at the start of the show. You know, you look at the combination we used to have, going back to it again, the Rose-Walker combination. But, you know, the way he cut inside, found Lamella, he picked out Bale and his cross, you know, was turned into his own net by Andre. But, you know, there's just something special about this kid. And there was that great interview that Sky Sports have done with him only over the last 24 to 48 hours, because there has been murmurs, as we mentioned on this show, about this buyback clause. And there was concerns that maybe Zidane has got this massively wrong, letting him go. And again, inside sources from Madrid, you know, their newspaper, their Diario AS, claiming that, you know, Zidane's under pressure now to bring him back to the club. But Reguilon says, look, I'm here at Tottenham. I want to win trophies. How big an influence does he leave for this squad for the years to come?
Well, he's talking Chris's language, isn't he, about winning trophies, that's for sure. That's happy days. Like I said before, I think he's been a good addition. You know, it's a long season, and there might be some drop off from him. He might even get even better. But I'd like to see more crosses from him when he gets up that far up the pitch. If I'm brutally honest, especially when you got big Vinny in the box there, like to put some of them away. Put a wonderful crossing against West Ham, didn't it, on the weekend, which was absolutely sublime. And again, another good involvement. He's not afraid to coming from the left and cut inside, and which we saw him come inside 3, 4, 5 players today as well to lay off to Lamella, which laid off to Bale to get the own goal. So I think he's a brilliant player, and is exactly what we needed. And I'm really happy for you, Rick, because you've been banging on about, you know, fullbacks for 2 seasons. And we've got them now. So I thought Doherty today was good. He always pushes up the pitch. We knew what we was going to get with him. Aurier always pushes up the pitch. So that's fantastic on the right. And now we've got down the left-hand side as well. So, you know, for me, I think he's a very, very important player for us. And I think that, you know, the connection with Gareth Bale, you know, coming in from Real Madrid is one thing. And I just think that the more and more you hear Gareth talking about our wonderful club and how amazing this is and great to be home, and, you know, the more and more you hear, you know, the you know, people inside the club talking about how much brilliant we've got a squad. You know, last year, Jose Mourinho was always talking about how bad our squad was and that we're absolutely doomed because we've got no Harry Kane or Son or whatever. You haven't heard any of that this year. It's actually been the complete opposite. And, you know, the more and more people are talking about that, the more and more he feels part of this family, if you like, at Tottenham, the more and more he won't want to go back to Real Madrid. And regardless, he's got a want to go back to Real Madrid, you know, with this buyback clause. Just because it's in there, don't mean to say he's going to go back. You know, even if they kind of put the dough down, if he says, no, I ain't going, he don't go. You've got to remember that he signed a 5-year contract with us. He's not on loan. So, no, for me, I think it's great. Look, that's a year away there. Anyway, let's enjoy it. Should we not fast forward and see if he's going to leave? Let's just enjoy him while we've got him for sure. And on that basis, I'm enjoying him. I think he's brilliant, and he's proper Spurs already.
He is indeed, isn't he? And, you know, coming round to you, Jay, just on Reguilon, you know, we've got to say that incredible pace, you know, for the goal itself, for the 2-0. And there's this real genuine feeling that this guy could be a Spurs player for many, many years to come. And, you know, I have to, you know, bring it back a second to recruitment. I know it's early days, but does it not feel, Jay, for the first time in years, that it seems that we've signed the players that can actually make an instant impact now, not in 4 years' time or 5 years' time. Right now, these players can make the difference. And Reguilon, for me, is a shining example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's for me, he's been one of the most impressive signings and one of the most impressive players of this season so far. Yeah, I mean, it's great to have that threat now from fullback. We've seen over recent years with Liverpool and how important fullbacks have become for them. And, you know, Reguilon now is certainly a big threat for us. You saw the delivery put in for Harry Kane on the weekend, and that's kind of what he's all about. He's a guy who's really offers a lot going forward. He's a guy that kind of gives a lot in terms of trying to win the ball back. We saw that at times this evening against Lask. So yeah, it was a really, really impressive performance, and he's another guy that just seems to have fitted into the squad so well. You go and look at the highlights from the training video, and you see that he just seems so friendly with all the other players, and just seems like he's really, really enjoying his time there. As Lee said, you know, it's a case he's got to want to go back there, and I think it was a deal that's too good to pass up. I think it's a guy who came in and kind of makes an instant impact at Spurs. So. Yeah, look, even if it did include that buyback clause, even we've got him for a year. So, you know, it comes in and certainly upgrades that left side of the defence. So, yeah, really, really pleased with Reguilon. And I think he's certainly going to be a big player for Spurs this year.
Now, one player who had a massive impact actually towards the end of that first half, coming around to you, Chris, was Joe Hawkes. He made a terrific full-length save from a curling shot from Gruber. And it was a real sloppy end, to be honest, that first half. So, you know, that save at that time was absolutely crucial, because that would have been a really poor time to concede. What did you make of Joe Hart's performance, Chris?
Superb. I thought that the clean sheet was all down to him, actually, because of that fantastic save. But that's what you want as a backup goalkeeper. Again, when I spoke earlier and said about Harry Kane being rested, it's great that our captain, Hugo Lloris, has been rested. And it's lovely to feel that you can rely on someone when they're coming in. Like Carlos Vinicius come in for Harry Kane today. You know, he got the job done. And Joe Hart got the job done tonight for Tottenham. You know, first clean sheet in, what, 3 months or so. You know, that will give the players huge confidence going into the next game, you know, knowing that we can keep clean sheets. But yeah, Joe Hart, as I said earlier, I think has been a great signing. You know, it raised a few eyebrows when he did sign, but, you know, he's proving already, you know, what a leader he is on the pitch. And that is what is, you know, really, really great for me to see that his leadership qualities, you know, his constant talking. You know, we saw that in the pre-season friendly. So he's just carrying it through now.
It's one of those players that I know he divided opinion in the summer, Joe Hart. But to be fair to him, I don't think you can ask any more than what he's done so far, bearing in mind or barring the Watford pre-season game, which we're not going to go into because it's irrelevant, because it was a non-entity that game. And Lee, just on Joe Hart, I think it's very important to kind of make the point that he did not stop shouting throughout that game. As we mentioned, he only had the real one save in that first half. And it was a real, real great, superb, full-length effort to really push around Gruber's curling effort. Anyway, help Spurs that first clean sheet of the season. And you just hope now that we can build on this clean sheet, Lee, because we've been discussing for such a long time. Great scoring all these goals, but we've got to start getting clean sheets. That's the success to any team that go on and win trophies, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 31 goals in 10 games and 13 goals conceded, just, you know, it doesn't seem like it's very balanced. I mean, we're scoring two times more goals per game than we are conceding. So we've definitely made an improvement. I think that, you know, we always talk about fine margin. I can't remember how many times we've said it on these shows, but, you know, we talk about fine margins. And the reality is, if we spread some of them goals out into the different games and we lose, we win 6-4 at Manchester United rather than winning 6-1 and, you know, spread that out to the Newcastle and West Ham game, then all of a sudden we're second in the Prem. So it is fine margins. And I think, you know, of course, look, it's easy for me to say that and put a positive spin on it. We need to stop conceding goals. Which we did tonight. And like you say, Joe Hart, when he was called upon, which was very seldom, but when he was, he did well. He's a shouter at the back. He's an organiser as well. And, you know, I'm going to say it again, he's a winner. He's won a couple of Premier League titles with Man City as well. And it wouldn't surprise me of confidence, like Jamie said earlier. And because of Jose showing faith in him, we also, when he signed, definitely on the show, and a lot of the listeners agreed, you know, when he signed, we thought it was a shrewd signing because he was, you know, he's a homegrown player. He was free and he had something to prove. And we know that he can win. And all of us, if you've got belief in yourself, like you can make your own minds up because you're listening, right? If you've got belief in yourself, then you will know whether or not you can get back to the levels that you are. But if you've got belief in yourself, you'll always believe that you can. And Joe Hart thinks that. And Joe Hart believed in himself that he can actually do that. So the point being is that, you know, if he's got that belief and, you know, he thinks he can get back to that, that can only be a good thing for Tottenham. And I think, you know, again, it was a solid performance. It was a good save, as you said, Rick, and a clean sheet under his belt. And I think that he's going to play more games than what we all thought. He's definitely not a number three, is he? For certain, he's a number two. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets, you know, a good share of the games during the season, even against Hugo.
Agree. Now, what we did see in that second half is Spurs make a whole host of substitutions. Son replacing Bale, Sissoko on for Højbjerg, and Dele coming on for Lamela. And, you know, we did see Spurs have a chance as Lucas got into the box, but his cross was behind Vinicius. It was eventually touched to Son by Ali, but his shot was over the bar. On Dele Alli, let's come round to you, Jay, on him, because, again, with Ali, there was an element of, I think, relief, maybe that he was in the squad again. Some Spurs fans, listen, they feel Dele's time is up. Some, I still believe with Ali, that he should be looking at his Tottenham team now thinking, I've got all these great players around me. I've got the best stadium in the world. I've got the best training ground in the world.
Yeah.
Everything is still here for me to be a success. Is he trying too hard at the moment, Jay, when he's on that field? Because it feels like at the moment that when he's on there, he knows he's got limited time and therefore everything in his game seems a bit rushed. Is that fair?
Yeah, look, I think one thing that he benefited from so much in that first season was confidence and doing everything without thinking about it. And, you know, maybe there is an aspect of that. You know, there was a lot of times, I said, in that first year where he was kind of
He was just finishing like he wasn't thinking about the outcome. And now it just feels as though he has got that pressure on him. And of course, we know he's undergoing this Jose Mourinho test at the moment. And yes, that's a good opportunity for Jose Mourinho to use these Europa League games to go and test these players. But yeah, it does feel as though there is kind of a lack of confidence at the moment. A thing that he's overthinking stuff. And it's difficult. It's difficult to know how to miss that. Obviously, Jose Mourinho has tried a different approach in terms of trying to drop him and get a reaction like that. But it's now trying to build his confidence up, because that's something that seems to have taken a real hit. So that's the way that we know. That's when Dele Alli's playing his best football. It's kind of doing everything without thinking about it. And Jose Mourinho's got to find a way of being able to get Dele Alli to kind of get back to that state that he was in that first year, where he was playing with so much confidence. But that's going to be a difficult thing. But, you know, it'd be amazing if we can get him back to playing how he does, because it'd be another superb option in attack. And you see the squad, and it would be a very, very exciting for me if we can get Dele Alli back to his best.
Do you think, Jay, we will get him back to his best? Honestly.
I think it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's Jose Mourinho, as I said, has got to find a way of getting that confidence back for Dele, because it feels as though he has reacted. We don't know how he's reacted in training. I think that's obviously the big thing. He's got to go away and work hard. But hopefully he's getting his head down in training. That's obviously going to be the most important thing. It's difficult to say. I mean, hopefully if he gets a run of games, then that might help. I think that, you know, playing once so every often is not going to help him. I think hopefully if he can get some consistent game time, that will hopefully his confidence, because he's going to need a sort of big moment. Like even a goal would massively help his confidence. So hopefully he's given those opportunities to go and produce moments that are going to get his confidence up.
Chris, you know, we talk about their chances for Dele, maybe a goal for Dele. He had a great chance in that game to score. It was only for the goalkeeper rushing back on his line to claw the ball off the line that stopped Dele from getting that goal. What is it at the moment, Chris, that is lacking in his game that Mourinho feels at the moment is not worthy of a start in these Europa League games? You know, for example, why are we seeing players like, no offence again, Harry Winks getting selected ahead of him? What's Dele not doing? Is it training, or is it just a case that he's going through, as Jamie puts it, this Jose Mourinho test?
I think absolutely it's a Jose Mourinho test. I think that Jose Mourinho wants to see how Dele Alli copes, whether he goes away, works hard, comes back, gives 110%. What I want to see is Dele Alli now in Premier League squads. It's all right playing this Europa League game or coming on as a sub in a Europa League game, but I want to see him back, in Premier League squads. But it's funny because the camera cut straight to Jose Mourinho when Dele Alli crossed. He could have picked out Heung-min Son or Carlos Vinicius, and Jose Mourinho didn't look happy at all at what he chose. But I think that, or I'm hoping that we see the Dele Alli of old, because we know what quality he's got. And when you look through the squad quality that we've got now, you know, Jose Mourinho sitting there on the bench, he looks, you know, to the side and sees what options he has. And when you think that for most of this season so far in the 10 competitive games that we've played, you know, he's played very, very little. And when you've got players like that to come in, you know, to be a sub or to come into the starting 11, that's why I'm saying it's so exciting, because we've got so many options. But I'm hoping that this test does Dele Alli the world of good. So he just goes off, you know, concentrates on his game. You know, we saw it in the Amazon documentary. He said to him, are you a party boy? You know, what are you? You know, are you going to be at the top of your game again? And I just hope that Dele Alli takes this seriously, which I believe he is. And it was funny, actually, when you mentioned about that shot he had, him and Heung-min Son, they just stopped. It was like a slow-mo. It's weird. It was like a Sunday
very
league
bizarre
moment.
It was like, it's like we didn't want to score it. It was bizarre, wasn't
exactly
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And play to the referee's whistle. You're taught that as kids. And they just stood still, but quite a weird.
I think
moment.
He thought he was offside, didn't he? I think he thought that Son was offside, so he delayed a bit passing him, and then he shot. And actually, if he'd have shot first time, like, you know, he'd have probably scored. But because of that split second delay, because he was wondering whether or not Son was onside or offside, that's why he didn't end up scoring. I think. But yeah, it was a weird moment.
But when you think back to the other Europa League game, won the penalty, took the penalty. You know, he's got to take his moments, and you know, I thought he'd done well when he came on today. And it's all about taking your opportunities. As I said earlier, with any of these players in Tottenham's squad at the moment, when they're given their chance, either from the sub bench or in the starting 11, they must take their chance because they will get game time in future games, you know, because we will have a lot of games to come.
We then saw the South Korean continue his absolutely brilliant start to the season with yet another goal for Tottenham. Cute assist this time from Vinicius, but Heung-min Son, it does feel like he's really stepped up a level this season. Not as a confidence element, but the thing is his presence, and it does feel like he's at another level against anyone he plays at. Similar, we've got to say, to Gareth Bale in that 2012 to 2014 period where he was absolutely imperious, and Sonny is going through that as well. It does seem that he's very, very close to signing a new deal, but Heung-min Son on absolute fire at the moment for Tottenham, in incredible form right now.
Yeah, fantastic. Big Vinny, you, again, another lovely assist. It was a lovely cushion header, as you said, and Son don't miss them, does he? He was so lively when he came on. It was just ridiculous. So much energy. Always a smile on his face as well. Just the guy, man, I love him so much. He's awesome. Just quickly on Dele, I thought we'd done really well when he came on. He looked sharp. He looked at it. You know, I think the Jose effect is happening on him like it has on Ndombele as well. But he's gone down a pecking order in a sense of, you know, he's got to get back into the team like we've said on a few of the occasions. So, you know, he's lost his place. He's got to get the shirt back. And I think he probably will. I think he's got the fight in him for sure. You know, there's a bump in the road. You know, just don't write people off just because of they've had a couple of bad weeks or a couple of bad months or whatever it might be. I mean, he still scored like, well, I can't remember the stats now, actually, to be fair, but I think it was like 8 goals and 6 assists or 10 goals and 8 assists or whatever it was last year in all competitions. You know, it's not fantastic, but it's not bad. I mean, I think we were praising Son for getting 10 goals and 10 assists. You know, and he's world-class, and Dele gets kind of 8 and 10, and all of a sudden he's not world-class. So, you know, it's, again, fine margin. But I think with Dele, it was a bit of an attitude. He's put a rocket up him, and hopefully we're going to see the benefit of that. I mean, just coming back to Son, I mean, he scored so many goals already this season. You know, people were saying, I remember making a joke right at the beginning, or was it maybe after lockdown, I get confused. It's a mad year, isn't it, 2020? But I think he made a joke about, am I a forward or am I a striker or what am I, to one of the reporters after one of the games. And now you could argue, well, is he a striker? I mean, he's scoring so many goals. He's got another one today. And the guy's on fire. And Chris mentioned earlier, I think he cut himself short when he sort of said about, you know, world-class manager and world-class stadium. And then you mentioned Son and Kane, but Kane's world-class, Son's world-class, Gareth Bale's world-class, you know, in terms of players. And I don't think anyone can argue that. One of the best footballers, certainly, to come out of South Asia or Southeast Asia, and I'm sure Jason knows, will agree with that as well. He's an absolute superstar over there, and he's now very, very much so become a superstar over here. And I think like Mane is very, very important to Liverpool, Sonny is very, very important to Tottenham Hotspur. And it's fantastic news, I think, that our very own Jamie reported this week that he's in talks to sign a new contract. And I think that is very, very good news if we can tie up Sonny to a new contract.
He does bring this incredible energy to the team, doesn't he? Ran through to latch onto Vinicius' header to score. What's that? I mean, 9 goals, I think, for Son now in all competitions. I think over 50% already of the way to matching his record of last season. And that was his best goal scoring season. You think, my God, you know, we're not even a quarter of the season through here. And already Son is on absolute fire. So Tottenham 3-0 up, in real control of that game. And just on Vinicius again, Chris, I want to emphasise the point here that he looks like, we brought it up earlier, but he's looking like the ideal backup, isn't he, to Kane? You know, we mentioned that he's obviously big enough to be an effective plan B. But he looks, Chris, a lot more mobile and skillful than, dare I say, the likes of Janssen and Llorente. Just a very smart player. Am I allowed to go and say that at this stage very early on?
Well, it's nice that a striker has got off to a flying start, because whenever we've seemed to have signed these strikers, they've struggled. They've struggled at the start, they've struggled mid-season, they've struggled at the end of the season. So it's nice to bring in a striker. As I say, you know, the only thing for him that he didn't get today was the goal. But the 2 assists, absolutely fantastic. His awareness to know where those players were, and the weight of the ball as well was brilliant. You know, I'm excited about seeing more of him, and I hope that now Jose Mourinho will put him on the bench against Burnley. And you know, if we need that goal, you know, we've got that option. But it's just so nice to have an option of a striker on the bench, because you know, we went that whole period of time, 518 days of not signing anyone under Pochettino. We've struggled for a striker for many years, actually. You know, Heung-min Son and players like that have always fitted in when we've needed a striker when Harry Kane's been out. But to actually have a recognised striker who we know can finish, you know, we've seen his goal-scoring ability for Benfica. We've seen the videos, etc. And, you know, to come in tonight and get two assists, it will give him, you know, a great boost and great confidence going into the next matches.
Now, we did see a debut for Jack Clark, who came on for Carlos Vinicius, who had a very decent debut himself, as we mentioned. Almost a very big moment for Jack right at the very end of the game. He curled a shot just wide of the last goal, but he's clearly impressing Jose Mourinho in training. Sergio Uria, who was going through the unused subs warm down, shouted over to Gareth in a very high-pitched voice across the turf as the Welshman conducted his pitch-side interviews after the game, which we did see on Spurs' Twitter. Matt Doherty picked out Vinicius with a very early cross, which should have been headed home. Got up and down the flank and defended ever so well and put a good cross in the build-up to Spurs' third goal. He is growing in confidence. Davinson Sanchez, after an initial early wobble, had a real solid game and little got past him at the back. Ben Davis, captain for the night, as we mentioned, in central defence, started ever so well and played a good ball over the top for Vinicius to set up Lucas for Spurs' opener. Always looked in control, we have to say, alongside Davinson Sanchez, and showed he's a decent option for that position if and when required by Jose Mourinho. Moving over to Spurs' midfield, Eric Lamela, a busy presence in that number 10 role. He was involved in the second goal, carved himself open a chance early in that second half, but you could argue was caught holding onto the ball a little too much as that game went on a number of occasions. Moussa Sissoko, who replaced Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, got up and down the pitch in a real solid showing from the Frenchman. Gareth Bale, a couple of nice early touches before grabbing his first assist back in Spurs colours, with a low cross turned home by Andre in that first half. Looked a little bit rusty, you'd say, probably towards the end of that second half, and understandably at the moment isn't firing on all cylinders due to his lack of match fitness. And we hope to see Gareth, obviously, in that squad for Monday to come against Burnley. Giovanni Lo Celso, it was a nice little cameo for him for 10 to 15 minutes. Again, usual clever self, blended with a real aggressive hassling to help Spurs finish off that game. And Lucas Moura, who we mentioned at the start of the show, ran on to finish his pass in the box, fired home confidently after 18 minutes for a goal made in Brazil, got into some good positions, perhaps without always finding the best ball, but was a threat for Tottenham until he came off with just after 10 minutes to go. Lucas Moura ran onto Vinicius' pass in the box and fired home confidently after 18 minutes for a goal made in Brazil, got into some good positions, perhaps without always finding the best final ball, but that was a threat for Spurs until he came off with just over 10 minutes to go. So, there you go. We are going to go for a very quick break, taking you into our final break of the show. We've got the guys over at the Turfcast podcast and the guys also at the No Nay Never podcast that gave us their views, their analysis, their predictions ahead of Tottenham Hotspur against Burnley for them, Sean Dyche's men. Then, when we return, we give our predictions ahead of the game on Monday evening. Do not go anywhere. We're back after this final break of the show.
Okay, we're Gareth. Gareth, well done. 60 minutes under your belt, which is probably most important for you personally, but team-wise, 3-0 win, good start to the Europa League.
Yeah, no, definitely. Most important thing was we got the 3 points. Yeah, we know these games can be tricky because maybe we're expected to win them, but no, it was good. We went out there, did a professional job, maybe not the best performance, but yeah, we got the job done, we got the 3 points and we move on.
So we spoke to you when you arrived and we knew obviously you had a bit of fitness work to do. So now you've come on in the Premier League, you've done 60 tonight. How are you feeling?
Yeah, a bit stiff at the moment, but no, I think it's one of those the periods I have to kind of use it as a mini pre-season to get myself up and running. I fully expect it's going to take a few weeks and more minutes to get me going fully. But yes, one of those adaption periods that I can keep working hard in training in games. And once those match minutes get under the belt, I'll be sharper and better and hopefully contributing more to the team as well.
looking at, I mean, just looking at the team, we are scoring a lot of goals. I bet this must be a great team to step into.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was a big reason why I wanted to come. I know how good the squad is, the team is, the manager is, and I know how great the club is. So, yeah, it was a perfect fit for me to come back. And, yeah, I'm enjoying myself. I'm loving it here. And, yeah, it's just about now just trying to knuckle down, get the team winning, and, yeah, see where that takes us.
It's mad. But it's been shown a lot this week. It's 10 years, isn't it, since you that hat-trick in the San Siro? That,
I know,
that,
yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
I know. One of my friends told me the other day, and I was like, oh, my God. But, yeah, time flies. But, yeah, we have to look to the future now and look to this season, and we're all excited by it.
Brilliant stuff. Well done tonight, mate.
Thank you.
OK, with Jose. Jose, 3-0 against Leicester. Pretty much a perfect start to the Europa League, really.
Yes. When you have the first match at home, it's very important to win the 3 points and to have this positive start. The boys, they took it seriously. From the first minute, we could see that the boys were not here to have fun and were here to take it professionally. We made it nice and easy. It was not easy. If you watch them play in the league and in the qualifiers, they are not easy at all. But the boys, they made it look like easy because they took it always seriously, and to have 12 players on the bench gives me a great feeling, because you don't leave anybody out, and everybody is together and everybody is involved, and then gives the options in case of you need to make changes. So it's good.
Looking at the game, Carlos, he's shown us a little bit of what he's about tonight, hasn't he?
A bit ashamed still. Carlos is more than this. But still trying to understand the movements, trying to understand the way we press. The communication is only with Lucas and a couple of the Argentinians, because he doesn't speak almost a word of English. So he needs his little time. But was good, two great assists, some quality. His left foot is a left foot quality. He can score goals, but at the same time, if he doesn't score, he knows how to play football, so very happy.
Ben Davis, captain tonight, played in the centre of a two. Another string to his defensive bow, another option for you?
Yeah, he played sometimes back three. I believe with Maurice we did that, but with Giggs, and I think even with Chris Coleman, he did that many times in Wales. But to play only with two, it's quite a new thing for him, but very intelligent man and very intelligent player, understands perfectly what the team needs. Left-footed, there are not many centre-backs left-footed. Is a plus on the build-up on that side. And I'm happy because it was clear that Ben and Reguilón, they can play together.
And just finally a clean sheet, that would have pleased you?
Yes, of course, yes. But the team deserved clean sheets before this match, especially against Newcastle. The team had the clean sheet against United. One penalty in the first minute. The team was playing quite well, even defensively. But of course, was important to have the feeling of the clean sheet.
It's great to have the experience of Joe Hart barking out orders from the first minute to the 95th minute.
Yeah, but we have that with Hugo. Hugo is Hugo, and amazing keeper. But we brought Joe with the intention of have this feeling, the feeling of the experience. Of course, being English is also important for numbers in the competition lists. But we knew that Joe has this capacity of being a goalkeeper also for a big club like us.
Hello, this is Matt from the Knowing Never podcast, just giving you a view on all things Burnley ahead of Monday night's match. I'm going to start with what I think will be the Burnley lineup for the match against Spurs at Turf Moor. Obviously, in goal will be Nick Pope, back to his best against West Brom on Monday night. Some fine saves, fine reaction saves, claiming high balls. After a bit of a blunder at Newcastle, it was good to see him back to his best. The international break obviously helped him there. He really should be England's number one. I think you struggle to find anyone who could give you good enough reasons why anybody else should come ahead of it at the minute. There's only so much longer than Southgate can carry on picking Pickford with every mistake that he makes, and Dean Henderson is not playing regular football anymore at the minute. So Pope really should be looking to get that number one jersey. Back four for Burnley. Well, it's been very disrupted during Project Restart and the start of this season, which really hasn't helped us. The key to that being Ben Mee out with a lengthy injury, and also Tarkowski out for a few games with an injury. What we'll find next Monday is it could be a first choice back four. Phil Bardsley has been isolating after testing positive. I'm not entirely sure what date that runs till. So if that's cleared, then he'd be in at right back. If not, then it could be Matt Lowton. He's, I think, on his way back from an injury. Or it could be Eric Peters, our star utility man who seems to be able to play anywhere he's asked to at the minute. He played at right back on Monday against West Brom. Tarkowski, obviously, he's back up and running now. Ben Mee did some full training yesterday, so he may make Monday, but Dyche may not risk him. It's a real 50-50 that. If he doesn't play, then it'll be Kevin Long, who's had his longest run in the team in the 10 years that he's been with us, really, recently with all these injuries. And then left back with Charlie Taylor, who is another one that people are shouting should be getting an England call-up, really, if, you know, if Southgate is playing three right-backs and not looking for a left-sided player, then, you know, he's got one ready-made there who's done fantastic work for us over the last 12 months. Midfield seems a little more settled now, really. Young Dwight McNeil, who just signed a new contract with us last week, on the left. He was back to his best again at West Brom on Monday. Centre mid seems to have settled now with Ashley Westwood and Josh Brownhill. Jack Cork is still recovering from an injury. But Westwood and Brownhill both looking like they will definitely keep their places even when Cork's fit. And out wide right is Johan Berg Gudmundsson, who again is back from an injury. He had a good international break, I think, with Iceland. And yeah, he's an exciting player who can provide many assists for us. So it's good to see that midfield nice and strong. Up front, it will most likely be Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes. They've started the last two matches together since Barnes returned from injury. Jay Rodriguez is back from injury. He was on the bench against West Brom. But I imagine this kind of game, Dyche will probably stick with Wood and Barnes for their physicality, their strength, their hold up play, to try and, you know, really challenge your defence. Tactics-wise, then, against a team as good as Spurs, then Dyche will be very cautious in his approach. He'll set up with two banks of four. Everyone will know their role. Wood and Barnes will be target men, and they will, you know, they will hold the ball up. They will chase it into the corners. You know what you're getting with Burnley these days. When, you know, when we come up against a team that is so technically better than us and can really punish us, you know, we saw what you did to West Ham on Sunday in the first 15 minutes. We don't want that, and he will be determined that that doesn't happen, and we'll not make it as easy as West Ham made it for you last week. It will probably be a much closer game, hopefully, very similar to the match at Turf back in March, just before lockdown, where I think we were unlucky to not get more than a point off you that time. I'm sure you'll agree, it all depends what kind of Spurs side turn up, and whether we get the first half that we saw from you or the last 10 minutes that we saw from you last Sunday, and see whether young Gareth Bale gets an appearance there. Prediction-wise, I'm going to go for, I think I'm going to go for a 1-1, possibly a 2-1 to you. You might just have too much for us and be able to find a winner out there. But I imagine it'll be quite an entertaining game, more entertaining than Burnley West Brom was. Apologies to the rest of the Premier League for giving you the first 0-0 of the season, but you would have put a five on it being Burnley that was involved in the first goalless draw of this crazy Premier League season. So here's hoping for an entertaining match, a fair match, and the right result.
Hi guys, Joe Redman here from Turfcast Podcast, just giving you the Burnley perspective on this weekend's game against Burnley for you guys. I was going to say against Tottenham, but obviously you're not playing yourselves. Obviously from a Burnley perspective, it's going to be a very, very tough game. We've had a poor start to the season. We finally managed to get a point on the board against West Brom the weekend just gone, although that's nothing really to shout about. The difference was with that performance though, from what we've seen so far this season, is we actually created chances and we actually looked a bit like Burnley of old. And when I say Burnley of old, obviously I mean last season. We looked solid, we looked good at the back, and we created some decent chances. Obviously Burnley aren't well known for creating chances upon chances upon chances, but we do create chances, and the first few games so far this season we haven't even done that. I think a large part of that was Dwight McNeil was back to his best. He was playing really, really well. The unfortunate thing for us was that Chris Wood wasn't back to his best, and he had a couple of chances which Chris Wood of last season would have definitely put away, and we would have come away with 3 points, which, when you look at the season so far, I think that's what we needed. I was disappointed with that game, obviously, but I was happy with the performance. So it's just one of them things, really. As just looking ahead at the Tottenham game, I think you're going to look at probable starting lineup. Obviously, Nick Pope's going to be in the goal. We're going to have Charlie Taylor and James Tarkowski. Obviously, Charlie at left back and Tarker in the centre. In the middle, Ben Mee is currently injured. He's only just come back to training this week, so he's not going to be playing as early as Monday, unfortunately, for us. So it'll probably be Kevin Long. Personally, I'd like to see Jimmy Dunn there. I think he's the better of the two. It's just Kevin Long's got a little bit more experience, so Dyche seems to be sticking with him so far this season. And then at right back, it's anyone's guess, really, because Matthew Lawton's injured, Phil Bardsley has coronavirus, and Eric Peters, who played there against West Brom, he's now got a knock as well, so it's anyone's guess who could play there. Matt Lawton is back in training, so the chances are it will be Matt Lawton, but he's kind of being rushed back if we have to play him there. On the left-hand side of midfield, it'll be Dwight McNeil. Fingers crossed he can put in a good performance again. And in the centre of the park, you're going to have Ashley Westwood and Josh Brownhill, who we signed from Bristol City in January. And on the right, my guess would be Johan Berg Gudmundsson. He'll start with him. And up top, fingers crossed for Chris Wood and Jay Rodriguez, because Jay Rodriguez has been injured recently, but he did come off the bench against West Brom. And them two really work really, really well together up top. So fingers crossed we can get them going and we can start being more Burnley of old going forward. As for formations, everyone knows it'll be 4-4-2. It always is for Burnley. And predicted results, it's one of them for me. I normally let my head rule my heart, but I think at the minute with the poor start to the season, I'm trying to find positives and things like that and see if there's anything that I can be positive about at the minute. The fact that Ben Mee's coming back from training, that's massive. Obviously, he won't be ready for the game, as I've already mentioned, but it's another positive for us to have going forward. So I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to go 1-1, but like I said, that's my heart rule in my head, and even that's cautious. Even that's me being cautious. So it's just one of them, really. If I'd let my head rule my heart, I'd probably be saying 2-0 to you boys based on the performance this season. But what Burnley fans can take into account is, you know, we've seemed to do quite well against you lot at the Turf over the past few seasons. Obviously, got the result against you in 2019 with a 2-1 win. And last season, although it was only 1-1, I think we felt a bit hard done to after the game. A couple of, the penalty decision that we should have got. We all felt a bit aggrieved and we probably should have won that game if we'd have been given that penalty. Obviously, it's got to be scored and things like that. I'm aware of that. But you're going to back Chris Wood to score penalties, especially the form he ran last season. That's my preview, really. Fingers crossed we can get another result against you boys, although I'm sure you're not going to agree with that. But thanks for inviting me on, guys, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Right, Burnley. Seventh place Spurs travel to Turf Moor, hoping to maintain their 4-match unbeaten run in the league. Dyche's side, they sit 18th in the table and earn their first point of the campaign in Monday's goalless stalemate with West Bromwich Albion. Lee, this game, we shouldn't have anything to fear, should we, this Burnley side? They're hardly, you know, running away with anything at the moment. If anything, they're running away with possibly relegation.
Burnley reminds me a bit of like a West Brom away. You know, history would tell you that we've probably got... This might actually be a myth, so maybe history doesn't tell you this, but it always feels like going to Turf Moor is a difficult place to go. I don't want to... It's not as bad as Stoke on a way when wet and windy night in Stoke, of course. But it is a tough game for us. I've got bad memories of Burnley because last year we went there and we drew 1-1 and we let that... We got a bit of a tonk in that game, got away with one. And obviously the season before was the time when we went there. Kane just come back from injury, he scored, but we lost 2-1. And that was when our kind of title push, if there ever was one, that season just fell apart. Our league form from that Burnley game, I think it was the 21st of February, 2019, if I remember. And it was just awful. Potch had a proper Barney, didn't he, with Mike Dean. And it just went down the toilet from there. Our league form, I think we picked up like 3 or 4 points or something like that in the end of the league. We nearly done what Leicester did last season. But fortunately for us, we stayed in the top four. So it always holds a bit. Again, you know what you're going to get. You know, they're a good side. I say all the cliches. I'm not going to say it actually. But, you know, people to watch, I think, in Burnley is Wood. He's a big fella up front. He scores goals. For their perspective, is that, you know, they've got 1 point. So hopefully, Dr. Tottenham don't turn up again. Our waveform though has been fantastic, hasn't it? So, you know, weirdly, in contrast to last year, because we couldn't hit a barn door away, could we? But now we've got 6 points out of a possible six. Scored 11 goals away from home in the Premier League. We're on fire. So maybe shouldn't be a problem, but I don't think it will be, actually. I'm too optimistic. I think we're going to go there and win 3-0.
Now, ahead of Monday's encounter, Dyche has praised the Portuguese tactician Jose Mourinho for the way in which Spurs are playing at the moment. Jamie, he says he's in mind a top manager. He's getting the team more how he likes it. They are more adapting to his way of thinking, and the players are adapting to the roles he wants them. He said, if you look at that squad now, they have top-class players, so there is a real chance they're going to do something pretty well anyway, and the manager's job is to maximise that. Now, Dyche said ahead of the game that they'll be looking to play effectively and a style that is awkward and hard to get a grip of, and he says, we have got things from the games against them before. So already there, the mind games are there from Dyche about how they're going to set up. How do you think they will, Jay? How are they going to frustrate us ahead of this one?
Yeah, look, I think one thing that we've really struggled with is defending set pieces. I know that two of the goals that we conceded this season have come from open play, and that's it. So that's going to be an area where they're going to target us. I think aerially, we are really weak. You know, there doesn't really seem to be anyone in that defence who's capable of challenging in the air, and that has been a real weakness for us. You see the free kick against Newcastle, of course, that proved to be an issue. You had the goals against West Ham, the majority of them coming in balls into the box, and that's going to be something we've definitely got to be wary of. It's, you know, we saw tonight there was lots
Everton as well, wasn't it, Jane? Everton as yes. well, same thing, ball into the box.
Exactly, and that's how Burnley are going to set up. They're going to come in, you know, they are a team that's going to have a lot of threat in the air, and that's something that we've got to watch, and we can't give away those silly fouls. We've seen. We saw against Newcastle, it was a silly foul that we gave away. We saw against West Ham, it was a silly foul that we gave away. And that's something we've got to try and avoid and try and eliminate from our game. And that comes from coaching, that comes from Jose Mourinho drilling in the message. And that's something that I really want us to look out for is not giving away silly fouls and giving them a chance to put balls into the box, because that's what's going to hurt us on the weekend. So that's something we've got to avoid. But you know, it's obviously frustrating the points that we have dropped this season, but I think if you look at the performances, they've been so positive, and I think that's what we've got to focus on. There's a lot more to come from this team, and if we can eliminate those silly mistakes from the performances, then I think we'll pick up a lot more points this year.
Chris said earlier, didn't he, about, you know, the 90s team with Ozzy Ardiles, you know, score more goals than anyone else. So here's a question for us to ponder until Monday. It's a long time to ponder, isn't it? Do we think that Burnley are going to score more than three goals against Tottenham? Because the, like I said, the stats earlier, I've said them again, because I'm proud of the team, 31 goals in 10 games. So, you know, the reality is we scored 11 in our two away games in the Premier League. We scored 11 goals. So, you know, are Burnley going to score more than three goals against us after that shambolic last 10 minutes against West Ham? I don't think that's going to happen again, is it? Surely.
They're probably just parked the bus, though, Lee. That's the problem.
Well, why is that a problem if we win the game?
I think they will make it frustrating for us. I agree. I think that they've always been a side difficult to break down. So I think you're right, Chris, in terms of, I think they will make, they'll be very compact and will kind of come to park the bus.
Bearing in mind, Chris, you know, the home form at the moment, just 2 points out of a possible nine. Honestly, Lee, I promise you, I'm not trying to put a downer on it, but I'm just kind of emphasising that point. Only two from possible nine, Chris. That kind of makes it even more of an emphasis that, you know, the away form this season is going to be decent, hasn't it? Because we're not picking up the home results at the moment. And Burnley's a game that, again, if you've got genuine aspirations of top four, or dare I say, trying to compete for a title, these are the games you've got to go and win. And bearing in mind Burnley's form, we should be going there and winning, shouldn't we?
Yeah, well, there's been lots of talk. You know, Harry Redknapp, Dimitar Berbatov, you know, David Ginola, they're all saying that Tottenham could compete and win the Premier League this season. But if you were going to finish even in the top four, you have to be going to places like Turf Moor, you have to be going to Burnley, and you have to be picking up the 3 points. Now, we've seen so far this season the amount of quality that Tottenham have got going forward. Lee is completely right. But if they're going to be parking the bus and they'll man-mark Harry Kane, they'll man-mark Heung-min Son and take them out of the game, you know, Tottenham have to have that little bit more quality. But as I say, if we want that top four finish, we have to be winning these sorts of games. It is a very difficult place to go, though. Burnley, Turf Moor. You know, I think it would actually help Tottenham with the fans not actually being there, you know, the Burnley fans not being in the stadium. I do expect Tottenham to win, and I do expect this unbeaten run of ours to continue. After the clean sheet today, I expect Tottenham to get a clean sheet, and I'm going to go for a 2-0 win.
Fantastic. Now, ahead of the game, Sean Dyche has had his say on Gareth Bale coming back to Tottenham. He said he says he believes that Bale will thrive when he's fully fit. He says there was massive question marks when he first went to Tottenham over a player, what he could be. They were clear signs of his athleticism and ability to be a top player. There's no two ways about it. I presume they'll get him fit, or what they deem to be fit. He's another very good signing for Tottenham as a club, and I think his record speaks for itself. So again, positive there on Gareth Bale from Sean Dyche. Believes it's a good signing for Tottenham. We all believe that as well. Chris going for 2-0 there. Let's get the predictions from the team. Lee, what are you going for?
3-0 Tottenham.
3-0 Tottenham, okay. Jamie, confident?
Yeah, I'm going to go for 3-0 as well. I mean, look, again, I just want, hopefully we can keep that clean sheet. That's been a big issue for us. Aerially, that's been a real, real issue for us. And hopefully, you know, with the likes of Chris Wood up front, I think that's something that we've hopefully can try and stay away from. But yeah, 3-0 Spurs. I'm confident this one.
Just fascinating, isn't it? How we're all going for a clean sheet. And this is what happens, isn't it? When the back of you get the one, we're all sitting here thinking clean sheet, 3 points, goals galore. I'm also going to go with 3-0. I mean, I'm confident. Now, so you look at the team here at the moment, you know, fingers crossed. We could see, obviously, Eric Dier come back into contention. We'll have to wait and see Jose Mourinho's press conference, which will probably be on Friday, ahead of the game on Monday. So lots of positives to go into this game against Burnley. Let me thank my wonderful panel that are here past midnight, as usual, on these Europa League games. Chris Cowling, thank you for so much, as always.
Thank you, Rick, and the trophies are coming.
There you go. You heard it here first. The trophies, there you go, the plural as well. The trophies, not just Europa League, FA Cup, Carabao, Premier League, dare I say, they're coming. Jamie from the Daily Hotspur, who's been doing some interesting, like I say, analysis there in the last hour and a half. Jamie, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, very good. Hopefully we can, you know, produce a good result on the weekend. Obviously, performances have been fantastic. And yeah, hopefully we can come away with 3 points, because, you know, we deserve them certainly on the weekend. And hopefully we can come away with 3 points on the weekend.
Fantastic. And Jay, just a massive happy birthday from the panel of The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you had a good birthday under limited situations, obviously, at the moment.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it was really good. Good
no
fun.
Problem. So yeah, we won't discuss, obviously, the images in the WhatsApp group in terms of cakes floating around, but we hope you had a good one.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
Our pleasure, no problem at all. And Lee McQueen seeing us off on this crazy train. Lee, got to keep the train going, haven't we? We're doing the train, aren't we?
I was going to say, you know, happy crazy train, because it keeps on rolling. All I would say about Burnley, go up there, be on the front foot, be confident like we have done all season, start fast, start like the train, keep the crazy train rolling.
There you go. Well, listen, the wheels aren't stopping and we aren't stopping either. So listen, hope you enjoy the show. We'll be back after Burnley, hopefully talk about another 3 points. As always, keep the faith and come on you Spurs!
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.